In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A good friend and I were having a heated discussion earlier this week. I have known this man for most of my life since we were both children. We have had our ups and we have had our downs. When you know someone as long as we have, it is easy to agree on a lot of things and it is easy to disagree on much. I would say right now we are in a time of disagreement. Like many friendships, the current political climate has strained our relationship. There is nothing odd about it. It is a byproduct of people with opinions and people who know each other well. We were going back and forth about a particular writer that we both read. I told him that I had lost faith in this person, that the writer had lost all credibility with me. It came down to one important thing. I thought the writer had become a hypocrite. Now, to call someone a hypocrite is a pretty powerful thing. It is not a light word to throw around, and I used it quite a lot in our conversation. Eventually, I realized I had said it so much, and I had to stop and think about that. When I got back into the conversation, I said, you know what? We are all hypocrites in our own way. And I meant that. And I needed to say it. I needed to have that become a part of the conversation. Maybe it was a little bit of self-confession that we need when getting involved in a heated debate. Jesus uses this powerful word in our gospel today. It certainly would have had an effect on its targets. He was declaring that the most religious, the most pious people of his day were hypocrites. Their disagreement arose over the issue of ritual purity. Now, I think it might be hard for us, who not only live in modern times, but who are also Christians, to fully grasp how complex something like ritual cleanliness was and is. Jewish life in so many ways was defined by religious law, by the detailed and minute way it governed almost every imaginable aspects of one's life. What you can wear, what you can eat, what task and labor you can or cannot perform on a given day. All of these things and more accumulate into a person's ritual spiritual cleanliness. Stay within the bounds of the law and you are fine. Go outside of them and all of a sudden you are unclean. Scholars call this putting a fence around the Torah. The idea being that there are foundational laws so important that you then put in place these other laws, creating a fence, and thus keeping the violation of the foundational laws at bay. Like I said, this kind of all-encompassing, all-consuming order of life might be hard for us to really appreciate. But the outcome of what happens when it is violated is not. We all, I would suspect, have experienced what happens. We probably know what it is like when a relationship with a loved one, a family member or a friend, when that relationship deteriorates. We do the wrong thing, we say the wrong thing, and all of a sudden, a barrier between them and us might be thrown up. A great chasm may open up. We become distant, we become removed. In the time of Jesus, one's offenses, one's transgressions, one's sins could lead them to being outcast, shunned, and condemned. Neighbor, friends, family, all of those relationships are put into jeopardy. All of a sudden, they can be taken away and a person can be left utterly alone. It is a terrifying prospect, a painful thing to have happen, and not all too different than what can happen today. We still cut people out, push them away, cast them aside. Whatever the offense, the transgression, the sin, the outcome is the same. People alone and isolated. But thankfully, Jesus does not do this. Jesus does not let any of our offenses or our sins keep him apart from us. In our reading today, Jesus gives us a sort of greatest hits of sins. Some of the worst evils we can visit upon ourselves and upon each other. Jesus points our attention to these, and Jesus shows us how to respond to them. Again and again, we find Jesus with the sinner, with the outcast, with the unclean. Again and again, we find Jesus reaching out and sitting down with them. He breaks bread with them. He preaches to them. He heals them. He offers them a place in God's kingdom. He offers them salvation. All of this given, all of this offered in spite of all of our sins and transgressions, despite what they are, what they may be, they will not throw up a barrier between Jesus and his love for us. They will not open up a chasm between us and his mercy. Now, we may turn away from him. We may run from him. We may hide from him. But we will never be shunned by Jesus or outcast by Jesus. As I said to my friend, we are all hypocrites in our own ways. We are all sinners. But we are also loved by God. We are also saved by Jesus Christ. And in this love, in this salvation, there is a call made to us to live it out, to share it with others, loving as we have been loved by God, forgiving as we have been forgiven by God. In this love, we are brought closer together, and by it, any barrier or distance we put up between one another can be conquered, and we can be reunited. And my friend and I will continue to have our ups and our downs, to agree and to disagree. But I hope I am able to see our friendship, to live out that friendship through the love of Jesus Christ. None of us need a fence between us. What we need is God's love, bringing us closer. Amen.